You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Sunday the 20th of October. And you can join James Wilman, Gary Catewell and Lord John Budden for coverage of the action from Kempton, Sedgefield, Cork and Nace. And Kempton in particular, decent car, jumping returns to that track for the winter. And some good stuff over in Ireland as well to look forward to. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby. Andy Holding is with me. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Hello, John. Yes, very well, thank you.
You join us on Champions Day, right in the midst of the action. We're recording this in between the Champions Stakes and the Balmoral Handicap. So it's all very fresh in the memory.
Yeah, just gathering my thoughts, really, and recollecting what happened. Obviously, I haven't watched any replay, so if there was any hard luck stories, something that didn't get a run in one or two of the races, then I'll have to apologise. Have to just say it as I saw it live, as it were. But it's been great stuff. A lot of the fancied horses in general have run well, but we've had a few shocks along the way, and none more so than the first race.
Yeah, well, let's kick things off with the first race, the British Champions Sprint Stakes, and listen back to what happened in the closing stages.
Maker Challenge just about leads to Hello Yumzane. Brando running home well with Forever in Dreams and Out Wide Don One, and One Master with a late challenge too as they race up towards the line. Don Juan Triumphant on the near side getting up. Don Juan Triumphant has snatched the spoils.
Don Juan Triumphant winning the Champions Sprint Stakes, then a poignant win for the King Power Racing operation. Andrew Balding and Sylvester D'Souza got the better of One Master, who was in second for William Haggis. Andrew Balding, being interviewed after the race, he was saying that everything was right for this horse, you know, the track and the ground and the time of year, and that's why, even though he was a big price, things have fallen right for him today, and he's managed to get that Group 1 win.
Yeah, he was rather overlooked, wasn't he? 33-1, which is an insult really for a horse who on his day had clocked some very big time figures. Particularly on soft ground, and more importantly this time of year, he's very much a horse that comes into his own in the autumn. So although the starting price suggested he was a roughie, to quote Matt Chapman, I think he had better form than his odds suggested, and it wasn't as big a shock to me as perhaps one or two anticipated. It was a bit of a nail in the coffin for me, because it was one I looked at a big price. And it went and swooped past my nap of the day, One Master, who ran a perfectly respectable race. He just didn't have that tactical speed from the two-pole, whereas Don Juan Triumphant had that 6 furlong kick in him, and he just got first run as the mare tried to run him down. But very much a worthy winner. I didn't think there was too many hard luck stories. They went off very fast. One or two horses did probably run up to their best form towards the back end of a hard season. And Connections of Maker Challenge had a great run for their money. Travelled up sweetly, fully justified the inclusion. I think they picked up, what was it, 30 or 20 odd grand, so they got most of their money back. But more importantly, they had a great day out, and looking forward to next season, which is what they've got to sort of think now after, you know, the giddy heights of going from winning handicaps in Ireland to running in this Group 1, is they've got a genuine graded horse or group horse for next season, particularly at the Curra. There won't be many horses who'll beat that lad at the Curra next season.
Obviously, Forever and Dreams has run a big race, but generally for the three-year-olds, likes of Advertise and Hello Yumzane, it's been a little bit of a disappointing time.
Yeah, Hello Yumzane, very much a flat track specialist. Haydock is his track, and Advertise just needs quick ground, and he's probably not as good as in the autumn as he is in the summer, so you learn more as you go along. Looking back at the race, and you know, you think Don Juan Triumphant and One Master, it was a probably believable result in many respects under the conditions.
Well, that was Don Juan Triumphant winning the sprints. We had a short price favourite in the Long Distance Cup.
Kew Gardens, here comes Stradivarius. He's cutting him back. Stradivarius taking on Kew Gardens. They race as one now inside the final furlong. Stradivarius just with the edge. Kew Gardens will not lie down without a battle. Stradivarius and Kew Gardens. Kew Gardens fights back. And Brad may have won.
Very, very tight as they came to the line then. But commentator Simon Holt called it just right. Kew Gardens beat Stradivarius by a nose in the finish of the day, Andy.
Yeah, finally the bride after several near misses. Kew Gardens looked fantastic in the parade ring, according to Ken Peterson. Ran accordingly on the track and finally got the better of Stradivarius, who's been the champion in this division for so long. The ground and probably a hard season just caught up with John Gosden's charge. He hit the front over falling out, but Kew Gardens rallied in typical Bray fashion to just get back up on the line. They're well clear of Royal Line and ran well for the Gosden string. And Mekong also, I think, deserves an extra special mention. He got beat 6 lengths, but he must have given them at least 10 lengths after a very slow start. He's probably one worth bearing in mind for the next year's race under similar conditions, should he get there. But yeah, you can't take anything away from Kew Gardens. He deserved a big one. And of the two big Aidan O'Brien horses in those colours today that didn't disappoint, he was the start of a memorable double.
Speaking of next year, Stradivarius, conventional wisdom seems to be that he's going to come back and may even target the Arc, we've heard. Kew Gardens, if he returns for a five-year-old campaign, going to be one for these staying cup races?
Yeah, I think he'll probably take in most of the races that Stradivarius does. If Stradivarius is going to go down the mile and a half route, let's say Stradivarius is now going to be a mile and a half horse, he'll start off in the Coronation Cup and go a totally different route. King George. Mm. So that, you know, the likes of the Yorkshire Cup and all the races at the Lonsdale and all that kind of stuff that Stradivarius was cleaning up, maybe Aidan O'Brien might fancy going down that road with Kew Gardens. He certainly stays well, we know that. So all the sort of mile 6 to 2, mile 2, mile 2.5 mile races, certainly well winning his remit. And more importantly, for Gold Cup next year, we know he loves Ascot.
So disappointment for Frankie Dettori and John Gosden in the Long Distance Cup, but retribution in the fillies and mare stakes.
And it's Sun, Maiden, Star Catcher and Delphinia. Three fillies in a line as they race up towards the final 100 yards. Delphinia, Star Catcher with a head down drive. Near side under Frankie Dettori. Star Catcher! Star Catcher has won it.
Star Catcher, justifying favouritism, winning the Champions Fillies and Mares for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. Another good finish here, to be fair, Andy. Delphinia, just a short head back in second for Aidan O'Brien, and Sun Maiden at a massive price. I thought at one point was coming to win a race, and in the end has just faded slightly to be third.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to Frankie. He was brilliant on this mare, who took a very, very keen hole throughout. She obviously is a very, very special talent. To pull that hard, to expend so much energy, to then find so much for pressure, suggested that she's got a granite constitution as well as plenty of ability. But it was very much a race that got away from Aidan O'Brien. Aidan's had a great day, but Fleeting should have won this. I mean, Donica's had an absolute nightmare on this horse. She's been so unlucky this season in so many races. They trained her to the minute. She was very well backed, 6s into 9 to 2. Donica decided to go down the inside when he could see that the horses were coming back in on him from the two pole, and they cut him off at the pass when she was just about to try and go through a gap that which was diminishing by the second. She just didn't have time to recover, but when she switched out and got back into her stride, she was finishing off 2 to everyone's 1. She got beat a length and a half, but I think she would have won comfortably with a clear run. So it was very much one that John Gosden and Frankie Dettori got against the head. So they've had some bad luck with Stradivarius and one or two others on the day, but they've got to count themselves lucky to get away with one of them, because this really should have gone the way of Fleeting.
Is it not the case that with the three-year-old fillies this season, almost all the fillies, bar two in this race, were 3 years old, really there hasn't been a proper standout performer? There have just been a lot of quite good three-year-old fillies this year.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I mean, Starcatcher's been the best in her division. I mean, she won at Royal Ascot, and of course, she's won when it mattered most. I think Fleeting is the benchmark. Wherever Fleeting's run, she's turned up for every dance, and she's acquitted herself with great credit. But you know, most of the time they're finished on top of each other. So, like I said, I don't think we've got any standout in that category.
Well, the next race of 3:20 was the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, the QE2. Let's listen back to what happened in that one with Simon Holt.
The Revenant is after this new leader. King of Change by 2.5 lengths to the Revenant as they race inside the final furlong, then Safe Voyage. King of Change just wandering off a true line. The Revenant slightly impeded perhaps, but King of Change is on top, and King of Change wins. King of Change from the Revenant.
King of Change then for Richard Hannon and Sean Levy, winning the QE2, getting the better of the French Raider, the Revenant, and doing so pretty well come the line in a race where a couple of the more fancied runners did disappoint, Andy, but it's King of Change who has had an interesting campaign this year with that second place finish in the Guineas and the return race where he beat Turgenev at Sandown, and now a Group 1 winner on Champions Day.
It probably did him a favour, really, John, when you think about it. The fact that he had that little bit of a mid-season rest, 137 days before he came back at Sandown, it meant that he came into this race a fresh horse, and I think that's the key. A lot of these horses, including the runner at Evenant and several others, had hard-knocking seasons. I mean, they went a furious gallop here, set by Ben Battle and one or two others at, I think it was Voracious. I mean, she did incredibly well to hang as tough as she did. But the likes of Lord Glitters and a few others that were peaking early on in the year around the Royal Ascot stage just didn't have enough running in their legs to see off the three-year-old who, you know, arguably had some of the best form coming in there. Obviously, he was running the Guineas and then that demolition job of Turgenev at Sandown. He's a lovely big horse as well. I think he'll train on because he is a big unit, and all the best mile races are certainly going to be in his compass. Obviously, the Queen Anne will be the number one race for him next year. Special mentions to Safe Voyage from the Quinn team. They must have been delighted getting a 7 furlong horse really to get the mile on his favourite ground, having had a fairly hard season. He's testing me to John's skills. Voracious ran really well, as I said, having set the race up at a good pace. And I think Muhatha, he's got to come out of the race with good credit. He hadn't run since the spring when he won the Greenham. Had an interrupted season, hadn't run since, but brought back to, you know, near as fit as he could get him, probably, Marcus. He would be delighted with that. Whether he'll run again this season, I don't know, but he's going to be a good horse going into next season.
I mentioned that some of those who were sort of in the top half of the market were a little bit disappointing. No more so than Ben Battle, the favourites, finished last in the end. Magna Grecia has been well beaten, and also Lord Glitters failed to get involved.
Yeah, Lord Glitters was just too far off the pace, but Ben Battle was a classic side Binsor or Godolphin horse. Hit the ball out of the park on the figures of time before on fast ground, bounced to the moon, and just didn't replicate it the next time out. So many of his horses do that. It's incredible. Magna Grecia obviously just had that big layoff, but the ground was always going to be against him. He wants really fast ground. Simple as that.
Now, on to the biggest race on the big race day, the Champion Six.
Magical by 3/4 of a length to a day of who's trying hard, then Foxtel, but Magical is tough as they come, and Magical is going to cling on and win the Champion Stakes and a second win on Champions Day.
So Magical for Aidan O'Brien and his son Donica, winning the even money favourites for the Kitco Champion Stakes. Beater Dabe in second, who's gone down fighting, and Deirdre, the Japanese Raider, in third. And another Group 1 win for Magical here, Andy. But as I said, I was really impressed with the run from Dabe. I thought ran well in second.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great run by the Haggis horse. Had every chance. Just outstayed by a very brave and tenacious filly who has obviously got a ton of class. She won the Irish Champion Stakes. She then went to the Arc. Didn't quite get the trip, having looked as though she was going best two out. But over a best distance of 1.25 miles at Ascot, which is one of the tracks where she's shone in the past, she's come good again. She had to be very tough to shake off a day who looked like it was going to win over a furlong out, but just didn't quite have enough quality to get by Magical. But they were well clear of Deirdre, who obviously was a bit unlucky in the Irish Champion herself. She probably could have done with better ground. I think the Japanese connections would be delighted with her when she gets on a better surface. So again, the right result. None of the fancied horses, perhaps other than Coronet, who was a bit too far back, disappointed. So probably one of the races of the day that went according to the form.
Are we at risk of underrating Magical as a horse in general? This is her, what, third Group 1 win of the year. We're looking at her form in the UK and Ireland. She's only been beaten by Enable and Crystal Ocean, and obviously finished fifth in the Arc over.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be the case because she's always played second fiddle to Enable. With Enable out of the way, particularly over 1.25 miles, if you get her on 1.25 miles with a bit of ease in the ground, she's virtually unbeatable, as her form figure suggests. And I think she's probably the type they want to keep in training as well. She's only a 4-year-old.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, she's only a 4-year-old, and we know that she takes her races really well. I mean, she's had, what, how many? 8 races for the season now, and in particular, a lot of races on top of each other. So I think they'll probably give her another go for next season.
Magical, the winner of the Champion Stakes for trainer Aidan O'Brien. So that was a Champions Day, or the group races on Champions Day. And as I said, this we're actually recording this before the Balmoral Handicap. Just looking ahead now to Sunday, as usual, you've got two selections for us for the day's racing, and I believe they both run at Kempton.
They are. First of them runs in the 2:45 in the shape of Oleg from the Paul Nichols stable. Very lightly raced horse. Very impressed with him the other day when he made his chasing debut at Wincanton. He was sent off a short price favourite, and he justified it in pretty impeccable fashion. He jumped really well, cleanly all the way through, as a lot of Paul Nichols' chasers do. He's been given a mark of 126 for his handicap debut, and I think that can be very much exploited to the full. Obviously, Wincanton and Kempton, where he runs tomorrow, two similar tracks, their layout, flat, right-handed tracks. The fences come up in a similar kind of space. So he should really go in again. I think he'll probably be fairly short price favourite.
Currently 7-4 at time of recording.
That would seem about right. Obviously, he's got one or two interesting horses up against him, most predominantly the Flying Sofa from the Gary Moore stable. Gary's always got a useful novice in his midst, and he rounded off the season by finally getting off the mark. But prior to that, he'd finished second to AC Milan in a good race down at Plumpton. We saw the third horse, Battersley Knight, out of that race, run really well at Market Raisin behind Rouge Viv from the Harry Whittingham stable. So collaterally, that novice hurdle form has gone into its chase form already, and the Flying Sofa is probably a better horse than Battersley Knight, so he's got to be worthy of respect off a mark of 121. But I do think race fitness, as we've seen so many times in the early part of the jump season, is key. And Oleg, with that run under his belt and a good win, hopefully that might just be the key component for him winning again.
I'll tell you what, you're going to see worse class four novices handicap chasers than this season. The 2:45 at Kempton, and Oleg is a selection for Andy Holding. What's the second?
Yeah, it comes in the very next race. It's always a small field, this race. It's a listed hurdle for the novices, and a lot of these are in danger, if they win in it, of getting ridiculous inflated handicap marks for the rest of the season. So if you've got a fancied one in this race, you better make sure that you try and win with it. And I've been hugely impressed by Pacify. He's won all of his four starts, useful on the flat with Rafe Beckett, but he's taken to his new discipline really well. Jamie Snowden's placed him to good effect, but this horse's jumping has been immaculate. I haven't seen too many novices in the summer jumping campaign. Leapers better than him, very quick over his hurdles. Although most of his best form up to now over hurdles is going left-handed, I don't see any reason why he won't go right-handed. Jamie Snowden's horse is in good form. He had a winner Saturday, and Gavin Sheehan's obviously seeing it really well also. Longsdale Hat Sale was a little bit disappointing in the big hurdle at Market Raisin the other day, so he's bubble burst to a degree. Cardigan Bay probably isn't the class. Golden Taipan got a good ride the other day for Paddy Brennan down in Huntingdon. He's probably,
that would be a good ride by Bergen O'Brien.
Yeah. He probably isn't quite the quality. So therefore, I think the danger might well be Birds of Prey, who was a good juvenile novice last season. But it's all about Pacify. I think he's a novice going places, and hopefully he can keep his winning run intact.
Pacify for Jamie Snowden and Gavin Sheehan, the other selection for Andy Holding. Of course, you can hear Sunday's racing on Racing Radio. We're on air at 1:05 p.m. with James Moore and Gary Catewell and John Budden, Kempton, and of course Sedgefield, Cork and Nace as well throughout the afternoon. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Andy, thanks for being with us today.
As ever, it's been an absolute pleasure, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.